Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is.
Hello, happy new year and welcome to the WrestleTalk magazine podcast. I am Adam Blompier, joined by the hardest working woman in all of sports infotainment, the Grinch, Miss Monopoly herself, Hollywood, Denise the Hammer Salcedo. Happy New Year. Welcome to the show.
How did you remember all of that, Adam?
She got it written down.
I was about to say, I don't remember all of those names. I would have messed all of that up. But you know what? I will, for this stream, I want to specifically be known as Mrs. Monopoly on this stream.
Oh.
The Queen of Monopoly.
Russell's my Jimmies, Denise. I should also point out before we crack on with the show, that this episode is sponsored by Beer 52. Oh my God, I got this through the post yesterday and I cannot wait. A whole crate of craft beer. To claim your free case of craft beer, head on over to beer52.com/WrestleTalk. There's the link. You can see it. But it's also at the top of the description. They're amazing. I can't wait to crack this open. Not right now. It's 7 a.m. here. But, you know, in the Royal Rumble stream, I'm going to be cracking open these delicious, delicious beers. Are you a beer drinker, Denise?
I am now with beer 52.
You shill, you shill so naturally for us, Denise.
I suppose. I am right now at Thursday, 11:12 p.m.
Well, hell yeah. Crack open a swig of beers for the working men and women of WrestleTalk magazine podcasting. Oh, my goodness.
You know, it's funny, for the person who just woke up, I'm messing up more considering that I've been awake all day.
That's right. That's right. I wake up ready to do this. You could tell by the huge bags under my eyes. I'm an old, old man. Not as old as Luke, though, who's having a week off. That's why I'm here, because Luke doesn't take any time off. You see, Denise, he's like you. He doesn't like doing it, but we forced him to. So, yeah, he's got the week off. So I am here for one night only, after my last appearance for one night only. And this time we're talking about Denise Salcedo's top five matches of 2020. We thought we'd do something a little differently. So instead of covering the most recent news story, Denise, we're going to run down your top five. I'm very excited.
Are we just doing mine? I thought we were doing yours too.
Well, I've already done my top 10.
Oh,
My top 10 is on... we did a list of my top 10 last Sunday, I believe. Last Sunday. I know when I recorded ages ago. I can't remember when it was.
No, it's all a blur, really.
It's all a horrible, horrible blur. So basically, yeah, we're going to run down your 5 through 1, and then I'm going to mock you for your undoubtedly questionable choices, because again, you are a Monopoly fan, and therefore you have no taste.
You know what? I'm insulted by that because Monopoly is so much fun. Like, come on, you get to buy land. You get to have a little person. You get to roll the dice. You get to, you know, I'm always the bank, by the way. Always the bank.
You are going to find having a mortgage so much fun, aren't you?
Yes, and I'm going to have all of my Monopoly experience, which, by the way, that day that I shared that picture on Twitter, just real quickly. So me and my fiance were playing Monopoly, and I cheated the whole game.
And on purpose?
On purpose. So, okay, so here's the thing. We got the cheater's version of Monopoly, but my fiance was like, let's just play the regular version. So we're like, okay, fine. Let's do as much as we possibly can the regular version of Monopoly with this. But I was still cheating because I was the bank. So like every time you would turn around, I would take like an extra couple of hundreds because I was losing money. I was buying all this land and losing money. So I started stealing the money when he wasn't looking. And then finally, when he started, you know, realizing it, he's like, where did you get all this money from? And I was like, I earned it. And it was so, I couldn't lie. I started laughing so much. I was crying. Well, in the end, I got caught cheating. So I got really mad and destroyed the entire board and nobody won because I lost it.
I got really mad because I got caught and I am the one who destroyed the board.
That is so American, right? I'm literally the tyrant in Monopoly.
Are you? You heel. Anyway, let's run through your top five. I'll lead you in. Number five.
All right. So number five, I decided to go with this match, even though it's more of a cinematic type match. I decided to go with the Stadium Stampede just because I thought it was so much fun. And I genuinely was enjoying myself during this match because I was like, okay, what on earth are going to do? What are they going to do next? Like, it's literally balls to the wall. I want to know what's going to happen. So that is why I ended up putting this one at number five. Mm-hmm.
Really, really good match. It didn't make my top of the year, but like, it was so much fun. So much fun. Like my increasing kind of burgeoning love affair with Adam Page, just like watching him do the buckshot over the guy's back and then just sit at the bar and drinking pour himself a whiskey. What a guy.
Really, there wasn't even a horse in this. Come on, a golf cart and everything.
I see Matt Hardy not get hurt in a major AEW show. That was always nice.
Also that. Are you kidding me? In for number oh. I was waiting for the cue. All right, number four, I decided to go with Tomohiro Ishii versus Suzuki from the G1 because that was my favorite match of the entire G1. So I decided to put it in here because I love those two and I love the match that they had. It was just hard-hitting action, which is exactly what I was expecting from these two.
Oh, I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh, you should watch it. It's really good.
I mean, yeah, I try and like, it's one of my New Year's resolutions. I'm going to watch more New Japan. And I start with watching most of Wrestle Kingdom, which I still haven't yet. And I'm just like, I'm going to do it. And then the G1 rolls around. And I'm like, I'm too busy. And I never
there's
end up
so
watching.
Much wrestling. Like, isn't there? There's so much.
Isn't there? Oh, my goodness. Number three.
My number three was AJ Styles versus Jeff Hardy versus Sami Zayn when they had the triple threat ladder match. I loved that match too. I thought it was very creative. I thought it was one of the best things WWE did all year. And I was a fan of it. And I remember being really hyped about it. So that is why I made it onto my number three.
Heck yeah. Jeff Hardy.
I feel like you're judging my list, Adam. Secretly judging my list.
Look, Denise, I've made no secret that I judge you as the world judges you. But no, these are all very stellar. I love that triple threat. Jeff Hardy getting the kind of slightly unusual earring. I didn't think for a second they were going to go with Sami Zayn. I honestly didn't. I was just like, it's definitely going to stick with Jeff Hardy or AJ Styles, maybe. But no, like the one night a year, they were just like, yeah, sod it. Sami Zayn, Intercontinental Champion, let's go.
And he did him justice too. He looked phenomenal in that match.
Yeah, it wasn't like the, oh man, WrestleMania. Sami Zayn versus Daniel Bryan. How'd you mess that up? But no, really, really stellar match. Number two.
Okay, so number two, I have to go with this match because it felt like a movie and it was definitely the Dragunov versus Walter match. I thought that one was a whole entire journey. I mean, it was just brutal, 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 violence, legitimately. We always use this. We always say this, or at least I always say this, like, oh, two dudes killing each other. Nah, this was really two badass men just killing each other.
We have the exact same number two match of the year, Denise.
Okay, yeah, I feel special now. We did it.
it's the lack of fans. That's what makes it really kind of so much more uncomfortable to watch. It's just like, because you are, like, even in COVID era, you're conditioned to have like some fans there going, but just fact is, you see these slaps happening in silence.
It's almost like you didn't need the crowd.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it's like proper old-fashioned. Like, I mean, a lot about Walter especially is old-fashioned, but just like, yeah, proper studio wrestling, like uncomfortable Southern promotion, like violence. But, you know, like, I don't want to watch too much, you know, wrestling like that. But for what it was, like, I'm so happy that everyone, you know, especially after the 2020 that there's been, that everyone was talking about NXT UK in such a positive light, if only for a week. Really beautiful, horrible, beautiful match.
I agree. Horrible, beautiful.
And now, drum roll, Denise Salcedo's number one wrestling match of 2020
was actually from Impact Wrestling. I Ooh. Know. I decided to start off that way. So my favorite match of the year was really just because it got the biggest pop out of me. It was definitely Eric Young versus Rich Swann at Bound for Glory. I loved that match. And I felt like I was one of the few people that really was putting this match over, like, on social media. People were like, oh, this is a good match. But like nobody made the justice of it, that it was a phenomenal match. And I loved it. I was genuinely so excited during it. And I was just waiting to see what they were going to do next. And everything that they did, I was like popping hard for. So that's the one that made me feel really good. And a lot of these matches, you forget all these like little intricate details of what happened. But the thing that you most remember is how you felt while you were watching it, and how you felt afterwards. And this is one of the ones where I like had like the most excitement level in me.
Oh, fantastic. I like, to my shame, I still haven't seen it. Like, I was so happy when Bound for Glory kind of got that huge, you know, that burst in
with
AEW, and also the kind of like a lot of people left WWE, of course. So everyone was just like, well, who are we gonna see? We're gonna see Rusev, are we gonna see who? So yeah, there was a lot more. Or am I thinking of Slammiversary there? I think I might be thinking.
You might be.
Yeah, I am. I am thinking of Slammiversary there. Ignore me. I'm just so tired. But even so, all like Impact has had a kind of slow increase of relevance this year, which is fantastic to see, because honestly, more wrestling, more wrestlers, especially in the spotlight, kind of elevating their stock, especially kind of for a crowd who may not have tuned in if AEW had, you know, shone the spotlight. Like, it could only be good for the industry as a whole. It really can. Impact Wrestling having something of a renaissance this year. That was a really lovely thing to see.
I know. I feel like they have like up and down moments. Like, they have those months where like, or those pay-per-views, like we mentioned, that they're like on fire, and then it kind of dwindles down a little bit, but then something else happens and they come back up. They're like on this, like, you know, they really on a roller coaster.
They are. Before we kick into the mailbag, we're jumping into the mailbag a little bit earlier this episode, just because this show hasn't been on the air for the last 2 weeks. So there's a mailbag. It's a big old mailbag to get through. So we want to make sure that we get through as much of it as we can. But just before we kind of crack into the beast, 2021, Denise, do you have any New Year's resolutions?
Adam, I know we just met, so you probably don't know me very well, but I live for like New Year's goals.
Ooh.
I have a 31 bullet point list of all my goals, dreams, wishes, desires for this year. Like, some are really big and then some are like really pointless, but they mean a lot to me. So literally like 31.
Are some of them to play a good board game? Is that one of your resolutions?
No.
You should give it a try. It's really, really like you'll be amazed how much fun you can have.
You know, okay, so I have to tell you something. I'm guilty of doing something. So I was posting, okay, so I don't know if you saw, but that day that I posted the Monopoly picture, I was also playing a Royal Rumble game, right? And it was really cool, but I had to make a game up because I was reading the instructions of how to properly play. Please. And I could not for the life of me get through the instructions. Oh. And I just got so frustrated, I gave up and I made up my own game. And we just played it like that, and it didn't end up working out very well. But I don't like to read instructions. And that's why I can't necessarily be like an expert in board games. I have to play the simple ones like Candyland. I love Candyland.
It's not a game. Literally,
yes, it
all
is.
The cards have been dealt. Like, literally, the winner has been decided by the stack of cards. There's no gameplay at all. You're just turning over a card and doing what it says.
I love Candyland, Monopoly. I like Connect Four.
Connect Four is a great game. Connect Four is brilliant. Cluedo is a great game. Like, there's some really good classics. Go Fish is also good if you're, you know, a 50-year-old woman. But, you know.
Hey, I play Go Fish. I play matching cards. Like, when you have to match the pair. I hate that game, but I play it. But I'm not – that's my extent of board game knowledge. And I know I'm talking to the board games master. So I'm very – I'm a jobber. I'm, like, below jobber level here in this board game world.
You're a young lion is what you are, Denise.
I don't think I'm good enough to be a young lion.
We'll get you there. I'll find a way. I'll do it. Everyone at WrestleTalk is now getting board games for Christmas and everyone's playing them in their off time. Like, it's happening. The virus is spreading. Oh my God, that's the worst possible analogy I could have used. I'm genuinely so sorry.
I mean, if any virus is going to spread, it might as well be the love of board games. I will take that virus.
There's no vaccine for that. On to the mailbag.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Oh, the best and most thoughtfully put together show of the week. Before we jump in, why not? beer52.com/WrestleTalk for your own free trial case of craft beer. They'll deliver it to your door. You can cancel anytime. I love Beer 52. They are absolutely wonderful. Not only do they get, you get eight lovely, lovely craft beers, mixtures of IPA, some full-bodied stouts, but they also give you like this lovely little snack that you get. And it's always like really salty and goes really nicely with the beer. And they also give you a little magazine so you can see what your beer is. And it's nice. I like it.
That's awesome. I love how they give you all this extra little stuff. I was like, oh, I was not expecting all that. I love it.
I know. A little bit goes a long way. All right. So jumping into the mailbag. Thank you so much for all your mail this week. Adam Gallick says, hello, Danuk. Well, I was wondering, what were we called? Are we Dam? We're Team Dam.
We're Team Dam. Damn.
Damn. I was wondering if AEW ever pulled a JBL / Kofi type move by taking someone deemed mid-card for life and making them the heavyweight champion, who do you think would be a good shout for that kind of spot? My pick would be Frankie Kazarian. I'd be happy with a gimmick overhaul a la JBL or just keep him as he is. I think either could work for him. What do you think, Denise? Like, it's sort of like an AEW mid-carder who like that has to be like instantly promoted to the heavyweight title.
I would probably go with two options, Ricky Starks or Scorpio Sky. I feel like those are two guys that can definitely be skyrocketed to the top and would do a good job. They would each bring something totally different, but I think that those would be my two guys.
Very good choices. Maybe, well, the thing is like, just like they have to be kind of like mid card because MJF is like he's upper mid card right now, but you know there's future main event there. Maybe I don't know that I think there's future main event there as well. I think he's also an upper mid card. I was gonna say Wardlow, but he's not. You wouldn't classify him as mid card. So
It's the classifications. Like I feel like because I was, you know, when I was thinking, I feel like Scorpio Sky and Ricky Starks. Like even though Ricky Starks is getting, you know, more TV time, I would still maybe consider him more on the mid-card level than obviously. So I would consider Wardlow to be around that same level.
Okay. Yeah, I think Wardlow would be absolutely brilliant. Like I think he is going to be AEW champion at some point. But no, he is he is what Diesel could have been. which is not necessarily the strongest compliment you can pay a wrestler.
Probably not.
But hell, really, really great big guy. All right. Peter Mullins says, hello, Team Louise, or whoever is subbing in for Luke. That would be me. Hello. Something struck me the other day whilst watching AEW and the team of the good, the bad, and the hungy, an inspired name, by the way. WWE used to come up with these great tag team names for random singles guys teaming up all the time, and I genuinely miss it. My question is this. Do you ever have or can you think of a great tag team name for two wrestlers? By way of an assist, here are actual tag teams that won the WWE tag titles back in the day, like CM Punk and Kofi, Kenzo Suzuki and Rene Dupree, Cody and Drew, Rico and Rikishi, Ricochet, there you go, right there, William Regal and Eugene, Matt Hardy and MVP, Spike Dudley and Taz, Eddie Guerrero and Tajiri. WWE is freaking weird, man. So we need to come up with some joke tag team names.
We're making one up?
Yes. We're on the spot here, Denise.
So who are the people that we're putting together?
Literally like any of those, like he gave us like a starter list of like randomly thrown together tag teams. I think he basically wants us to create another team. Hell no. Basically.
Oh, I see. Okay. I'm trying to think of everybody's names here really quick. As fast as my brain can work.
CM Punk and Kofi Kingston.
Punkston. CM King.
CM King is not bad. Punkston sounds like a kind of like a rowdy teen in like a teen comedy. Like the dean would hate the Punkston.
Punkston sounds to me like they could play off like a punk type of band. You know, punk wrestlers. I don't know.
It just sounds
their
like
own version of the Misfits.
Oh, it just sounds like the sort of like what CM Punk's shield would be made out of. Like Marvel made up vibranium. He's got a shield made out of Punkston.
Or it kind of sounds, you know what else it sounds like? Like a flavor of like a fancy Starbucks coffee. Like, yes, I will have a tall Punkston, please. Non-fat Punkston.
Well, we're not going to beat Punkston then. Okay, let's skip. How about Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre?
Rodentire? Actually, that sounds like a shop to go fix your car, rodent tires. Okay. Drody. That doesn't sound like a tag team name. It sounds more like just like a regular name. Like, hey, Drody, what's up?
Drody, my man, Drody. I mean, Rico and Rikishi, I think that's got to be Rikishi, surely. Matt Hardy and MVP, maybe. Oh, MV1.
There you go. That's a good one. I like that.
There you go.
I haven't seen anybody dab in like 3 years.
I could floss too. That would help.
Can you really?
Not in my chat. Hang on.
I mean, we can kind of see.
Thank you.
Congratulations on your flossing skills.
I appreciate the support. I always do appreciate your support, Denise. I know you're in my corner. Michael Plowman says, mailbag. I know this will get lost with the holiday shuffle. This is December 22nd. This is from. That's how far back this mailbag goes. I know this will get lost with the holiday shuffle, but inspiration hit me and I had to ask this to you. What's an interesting way you can think of for a Money in the Bank cash-in? I'll go back to TLC, have Miz, Sun's briefcase, and Morrison come down as if to help AJ. They attack Drew and try to handcuff him to the ring post. Having trouble, they get AJ to help and do succeed in cuffing Drew to the ring post. Then they cuff AJ to the same ring post. Miz then pulls the briefcase from under the ring to cash in and win the belt easily. I know Miz is unpopular, but this could have gotten fans talking, plus chicken S-word, Miz, and a triple threat at the Rumble. Isn't a bad way to go. Gracias. Tardía Feliz Navidad. How's my Spanish?
It's I understood what you were saying.
There you go.
I wasn't like, what is he saying? I understood you were trying to say Feliz Navidad.
Yeah, exactly. What more do you need? What is a good way for Miz to cash in Money in the Bank? Are you excited about Miz, Mr. Money in the Bank?
Well, I'll give you my answer and then you can come up. Then you can tell me if I'm excited. How about this? The Miz's entrance music hits. He comes out. He gives the referee the Money in the Bank. He says, I'm in. Right?
Right.
And then the referee says, no, you're awful. You're done. We out. This is over. You're gone.
The ref goes
Nobody
rogue.
Wants to see this. There you go. That's my brilliant creative idea.
Wow. Damn, man.
I'm not a fan of this. I've been like totally like anti this whole Miz Money in the Bank thing. So that's the best I can possibly do. And that'd be the most interesting thing I can imagine.
Damn, man. Damn. That was hardcore. I the only thing that I'm interested for, and I'm not particularly interested in the Miz necessarily doing this. I would have been more interested in someone like if Dolph had done this back in the day. But it's like the only story they haven't really told with Money in the Bank, I think, is the time running out. Like they keep trying to do it. I think if they do, right, and I know people aren't excited about Miz having the briefcase, but I get it. But like if they keep doing it, if the Miz keeps kind of like legally getting the briefcase back, keeps like trying to cash in, keeps failing, and it gets to May. Like, I know that sounds awful, doesn't it? It sounds like such a long time to drag this out. But it gets to May, and literally the clock is going to run out. He's got, so like at Money in the Bank, basically by the end of the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, Miz is told, you will officially, like, it will expire. So the entire show, he's going insane trying to cash in this Money in the Bank briefcase. And like, he does it, like literally at the end of the show, right at the end of the show, Miz finally manages to cash in the Money in the Bank briefcase. And then the person who won the Money in the Bank briefcase earlier in the night cashes in on the Miz and becomes the new champion. Cashes in on the cash-in. It's the only thing I think they haven't done.
That would be cool. That would be really cool. Better than my idea.
I mean, it's less mean than your idea. I don't know if it's necessarily better.
I was just trying to think of a way to end it and not even have to see anything happen.
I think Luke would appreciate your idea more. He is not a fan of Mr. Money in the Bank.
Oh, good. We haven't even had a chance to discuss this, so good.
Well, you've made it painfully obvious on Twitter how much you miss Luke. Thanks, Denise. I'm just
I didn't mean that. Okay, me missing Luke did not mean that I didn't want to do this show with you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I woke up and I saw your comment, and obviously I saw it like 50 years later because of like time zones and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, that I didn't even think about this. So I think I just gave you like a like or something. I don't know what the heck happened.
I think one of those emoticons, whatever they're called, you know, with the smiley face. Or
I was half asleep. I was looking at Twitter. I was like, what did I miss while I was sleeping? Like
waking up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah, I get you.
But no, I definitely did not mean I did not want to do this show with you.
Uh-huh. Okay. Whatever.
I included you in my Easter egg video. That was me saying, Adam, I know you. I appreciate you. You're part of this madness.
Okay. Saying Adam Hart's Monopoly is you knowing me and appreciating me. Is it delightful? Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the shout out. We have fun here. Nate drop surname says, hello, Team Danuke / Team Dam. I am a huge Seinfeld fan. I was so excited to hear about Denise enjoying the show. It's my all-time favorite sitcom, one of my all-time favorite shows overall. My questions are, who is your favorite character and what is your favorite line or shenanigans from the show? Some of mine are Elaine killing off the non-existent Susie, George taking fake donations for Christmas gifts or making up his place in the Hamptons, complete with horses, Snoopy and Prickly Pete, and anytime Kramer pretends to be H.E. Pennypacker, Dr. Van Nostrand, or other aliases. Remember, it's not a lie if you believe it. George, or maybe it is like, thanks for what is consistently one of the best shows, pods of the week. You always make me laugh. Oh,
do you watch Seinfeld?
I've seen all but the last season of Seinfeld. I got all the DVDs. Like it's been a while. It's been like 10 years since I've watched it, but like some of those episodes just like, it's just ping out. Like, I think it's the one, my favorite one, it just rings so horribly true, is the Big Salad.
Oh, the one where Elaine wants to get the big salad, but she can't. She doesn't want to go to the restaurant that doesn't have the big salad.
It's so like, I just the how much the show fixates on just like tiny, wonderful, mundane, and like inventing yada, yada, yada. Like,
oh, yada, yada, yada.
Damn the legacy of that show. I mean, like, The Contest is one of my favorite sitcom episodes, like, ever. Just the way Kramer leaving and then coming back in literally a minute and just go, I'm done. And just like the how long it takes for the audience to calm down is just so delightful. I really, really love it. What about you, Denise? Run us through some of your favorite Seinfeld moments.
My favorite Seinfeld moments, and one of the first ones was when Elaine was in the subway because she's going to the lesbian wedding because she's the, I forgot what she is, but she's in the subway and she's trying to make it to the wedding, but instead the subway breaks down. So like, she's just there having like a meltdown and she's so pissed off. And she's like, you could hear like her voiceover narration. And then she's like, someone's touching me. And then like, just the way that she was freaking out in that subway ride was so freaking funny. So that segment, I like the one where George burns his milky beautiful hands, the one where the girl that made the pirate shirt pushes him and then like he goes into the iron and he just burns his hands. That's a really good one. And then okay, I forgot which one. I don't know if you saw this episode, the one where the racer, the guy that's gonna be running, that he missed the Olympics because he slept in late. So then Jerry ends up being the one that has to wake him up. I forgot his name, but he doesn't wake him up on time. And he comes up and he's like, wake up. We missed the alarm.
I don't remember.
My favorite moments. Oh my God. I forgot the guy's name. And I'm sure I'll remember it afterwards once I'm done with this. But I need like a couple episodes more. I'm almost done with season 9. So I'm almost there. And I also like the one where Kramer goes to Los Angeles and they think he's the serial killer. And they come at his door, they open the door, and I just love the shot with like everybody there. And then you just see Jerry in the back just waving at him.
I really liked how I think they talked about it in like one of the behind the scenes commentaries or like an interview about it. He's just like, we fell into this trap, like this narrative kind of running joke for Jerry that things just end up fine for him. Like, terrible things happen to Elaine, or brilliant things happen to Elaine, and terrible things happen to George, and like occasionally brilliant things happen to Kramer. Everything just sort of works out for Jerry, which I really like. Is just like a running joke. I think it's one where he's like on a flight or in the airport, and like everyone else is going through chaos, and Jerry's just like
the airplane, the one where Elaine, he's in first class and Elaine is in stuck in coach. I love that episode.
It's really, really good. Also, every single time I go to a public bathroom, which is not often, obviously, like I think it's been close to like 6 months since I've been to one now, because yay lockdown, but like literally every time I go to one, I think of that episode of Seinfeld. It's like a tiny little moment where he just walks in and he just takes off his belt and he says, well, the tip of my belt touched the side of the urinal today, so it's gone, and then just puts it in the bin. And I was just like, yeah, that is how I would feel if the tip of my belt touched the side of the urinal. Oh, lovely. I love Seinfeld. Is it your favorite sitcom?
I haven't decided yet, because I still really love Friends. I'm a big Friends fan, and I do love How I Met Your Mother a whole lot too. So I do love that. Well, that 70s show isn't my favorite, but I do love that one as well. But I still think that I still love How I Met Your Mother and Friends just a little bit more.
It's got to be Frasier for me.
That's the one I'm watching next.
Oh man, like it's some of the best farce. It's so good. Like the first five seasons of Frasier are like, oh, they're so amazing. I love Frasier so much. Which, you know, everyone kind of looks at me and says, oh, of course he likes Frasier, the big posh bastard. But no, it's such good silly farce. It's the reason why I love it. Lawrence says, hey gang, hope all are well in what is hopefully the tail end of this pandemic. Here is something I think you missed in the Omni Flare return. WWE have perfected the screw job, because Vince and Creative just repeated the Mania 35 Asuka screw job with, oddly enough, almost this exact same cast. Super fast recap. About a week or more before Mania 35, they royally screwed Asuka by moving Flair from Raw to SmackDown, having Flair challenge for and win the SmackDown Women's title, so Flair could go into the main event as champion, and Asuka could go on to lose on the pre-show. This time, it is Lana in the Asuka role who got screwed out of a possible planned tag title run. WWE saw that Charlotte would be back at this time, so they wrote Lana's injury into the story to remove her from the pay-per-view, and once again, Flair was added to the match. And just like 35, no forethought or planning went into this whatsoever. It was all purely random and done at the last minute, so Dana and Nia made to look like chumps. Any plan for a Lana Asuka title run got scrapped. Any Lana puts Nia through a table plans are trashed. And it was all done just so you could put another belt on Flair. The screw job perfected. Stay safe and jam that jam. Not even a question. Just really, really angry about Charlotte. Like, man, I don't know. Like, Lana's storyline this year, I think it would be generous to compare it to Asuka's run last year. Because, yeah, I'm sure Asuka and Lana would have won the titles in a table match at TLC with Lana pushing Nia Jax through a table. I'm sure that was the payoff. And, like, I don't know, man. Like, I see more money in Charlotte and Asuka as can they coexist champions. Like, it's a done storyline, but I see more of a return in Charlotte. Like, even rushed kind of like out of nowhere, out of the blue, back and put the belt on a Charlotte than I do in a Lana thing right now. And maybe that makes me sound bad. I'm not sure. How do you feel?
I just think that Lana necessarily doesn't. I have to agree with you. Yeah, I think that there's definitely, and I know people don't want to see Charlotte as champion again because they've seen it, they've been there, and it just feels like it's the same thing over and over. But at the end of the day, I still think that Charlotte is a different competitor from Lana, and that is why I wouldn't necessarily go with putting the belt on Lana. Especially right now, the Raw Women's Championship hasn't been looking that great. The Asuka's run, unfortunately, was not necessarily the greatest. And that's obviously not her fault, but it was not the greatest. And so I do think that they need to revive that belt, because it's slowly or maybe steadily moving down. And that's not good. They need to get that belt back up to mean something. And with the whole Asuka, Nia Jax, Shayna, Lana situation, it really didn't feel like, it felt like a very last minute decision when they brought in Charlotte to be the mystery tag partner with Asuka and have her win. I didn't feel like it was like the right spot for Charlotte to come on in. And I get it now with their, like, you know, teasing this whole thing with Charlotte and Asuka. But at that moment, to me, it didn't really feel like this was the spot to put Charlotte in.
Yeah, I like Lana could be a star. Anyone can be a star with the right booking and presentation. Like, that's just the truth of it. Like you said, the Raw Women's Division doesn't have a division, really. Like, who has been the major stars now that, you know, we've got, because obviously Sasha and Bayley are both on SmackDown. Becky's gone. Shayna has been incredibly devalued since the beginning of the year. You need to like inject another star back into that division to make the belt, yeah, more prominent. And Charlotte, as much as you may be not enthused to see her in the tag in the title picture, she's a star, man. Like you say, she's not a competitor on the level of Lana. She is possibly the biggest star that they have, even more so than Asuka, even more so maybe than Sasha and Bayley. Charlotte is, just because, you know, she's been steadily promoted in that spot for years. You know, she until Becky comes back, she still might be the biggest star that they've got. So, you know, it's WrestleMania season. Unless Becky is willing to come back at the Rumble, like, who else wins the Rumble? You know, like, that's the thing, is that I don't want to see Charlotte win two Rumbles back to back, but who else is there? You know, like, maybe you could like hotshot someone and use the Rumble to make a star. That's probably a better choice. But like, in terms of like proper WrestleMania marquee match stars, you know, yeah, this shouldn't be the way it is. WWE should have gone all in on Shayna Baszler. You know, they should have, you know, kept Asuka, you know, strong. But right now, Charlotte's the biggest star you've got, and it's Mania season, so...
Yeah, I think the only alternative, or the person that I think should win, it should really be Rhea Ripley. Like, she should be the one that, like you said, hotshot her to the top, have her win the Rumble. I think that's the one that everybody, I think that's the match, the Charlotte match that people would want to see.
Yeah, Rhea's revenge would be really, really good. That's such a good call, actually.
Yeah, they got to do it. It feels like that's the natural selection, right? But you know, the natural selection isn't always...
Oh, very good. Natural selection. Oh, that's very good. Oh,
you Denise. Know, it never happened, though.
That's so... Oh, Denise.
Although, it did happen with Drew, actually. Did happen with Drew, so...
I think Rhea eliminating Charlotte from the Rumble, and then maybe Charlotte... The thing is, then again, you are sort of relegating Asuka to an afterthought, if before WrestleMania, Charlotte gets the title, and then it's Rhea versus Charlotte. Like, I think it would be great. I'd like to see it. I'd like to see... What would you rather see? Charlotte versus Asuka at Mania, or Charlotte versus Rhea?
Charlotte versus Rhea, all the way. All the way, 100% for me.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, all right, I'm sold. You've done it. Well done, Denise.
I did it. All I said was yes, and you were sold. You know, I should sell you a car. I think it'd be easy.
What about this Understeel coating? Ooh. Right. Jamie Donovan has given us a straight page of text. So I'm gonna read through this as quick as I can. Hey, Luke and Denise, or should I say Team Danuke? Love the name. Been a pledgehammer since some first time mailbag question. Wanted to make sure it was a good one for you guys. Sorry in advance if this is a bit long-winded. So, since AEW has begun, Vince and WWE have stated it's a blood and guts promotion and they are not worried about them. They decide to run NXT live alongside AEW on Wednesday nights, clearly still not worried. Throughout the course of the year, they traded ratings back and forth between them, but like in 96, the ratings gap becomes greater and AEW starts taking the lead. Now, over the last couple of months, I feel like the WWE product we are seeing is slowly turning into a cheap knockoff of AEW. What first made me think this is the arrival of Retribution and Ali being revealed as the leader, Karkov, Exalted One. Retribution's whole gimmick is that they've been forgotten about, shunned, thrown aside until Ali saved them and gave them their faces. Now rewind the clock back to the start of Dark Order and AEW and their recruitment ad stating, do you feel unappreciated, shunned by society, then join the Dark Order. Then after some weeks, Brody Lee is revealed as the true leader. Retribution some months later, same MO, then Ali arrives as the real leader. Seems too similar to be a coincidence, but I thought maybe I'm reading too much into this. That was until the last 2 weeks of SmackDown leading into TLC. So, Carmella returns with a new gimmick, seems quite cool and different, and to be honest, quite interesting. So I think, okay, I'm into this. 2 weeks before TLC, Carmella has a toast to Sasha, where she keeps talking about champagne and ends the segment bottling Sasha with a little bit of the bubbly. Since that point, seems like all the promos involving champagne or bottling Sasha with champagne now. At the point of me writing this, I've not seen the SmackDown after TLC, but seems to me her character is very champagne-centered all of a sudden, just like Le Champion. I think, one, this isn't quite as obvious as Retribution, but comes a few months after my first suspicion. It is still early days and more to be seen with the character. Nevertheless, cannot be a coincidence once again. It seems to me the last few months, WWE have started subtly changing or debuting characters very close to what we see from the so-called Blood and Guts promotion, which suggests they are worried about AEW's popularity growing and are trying to fall back to their strategy from the 90s in an attempt to bring some fans back, like with WCW changing their product to be more mainstream to bring fans back. Only this time it will not work, as all it seems to be doing is they're copying programs that got over in AEW. But hey, this is all speculation on my part. I think it's an interesting theory. Would love to hear your guys' thoughts on my conspiracy theory, whether you think it could be true or if I'm wearing a tinfoil hat while writing this. Hope you had a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Once again, sorry for the long email. God damn it, I could be right. Love you guys. Keep jamming that jam. Problem solver, Jamie Donovan. Oof. I don't know about this.
Do you have mixed emotions? I feel like you might have mixed emotions.
I have mixed emotions. Look, I'm sure the WWE is worried about AEW. I think WWE, knowing kind of what we know about WWE, I'd say they're simply more worried about their own failures than AEW's successes. They have been told to make their product, you know, more adult, more adult themed, which will inevitably draw comparisons with the more adult themed AEW. I think both shows having champagne on them, like 6 months apart, is a little tinfoil hattish. Retribution, you could maybe compare to the Dark Order, but again, Retribution came out of the news, which is what made Retribution much more gross. Like, if you want to talk conspiracy, you know, conspiracy theories of WWE, you know, that they were trying to do Antifa. They weren't trying to do the Dark Order. So like that's worse, unfortunately. Is WWE trying to rip off AEW? Like, I don't know, man. There's a lot of wrestling tropes under the sun. And I think champagne and a big kind of guerrilla warfare faction, I don't think those are the comparisons to draw if you are going to draw comparisons. What do you think, Denise?
I have to agree. I think that it is. I get it, the champagne thing, just because the thing is that Jericho has branded it. So that's why your brain automatically goes to the champagne, connects the two things. But it's champagne. At the end of the day, it's the go-to thing for if you're trying to portray someone who's like, you know, fancy, luxurious, or, you know, a very, you know, like the Carmella character, you know, the flamboyant, or, you know, a team is winning and bam, they got to celebrate with champagne. It's something that's so embedded into the culture that you can't necessarily say, oh, well, this person owns it, or this person can only do stuff with champagne. Again, our minds go there because Jericho has branded, you know, the whole bubbly thing and all of that. And I think that it might be a sense where you're probably looking for things, or, you know, trying to make these connections of, oh, they're stealing content or stealing ideas, because you can kind of do it on the other end too. Because I remember when they announced that Roman Reigns, Jey Uso was going to be a Hell in a Cell I Quit match, I think a week or two after that, it was announced that the Eddie Kingston, John Moxley match was going to be an I Quit match. And I remember thinking, like, you know, the rivals already doing an I Quit match, and they're doing it in this big platform with, you know, Roman Reigns, who's their top star. And now they're doing it too. Obviously, two different types of matches with the Hell in a Cell and no Hell in a Cell. All right. But that was one of the things that I thought about too. But if I were to sit there and say, oh, they're stealing ideas from WWE, I think it would be crazy to say that, because it was something that I think was coincidental, but at the same time could also be like, well, you know, they did do it first, and you got to keep an eye out on the competition. So maybe come up with a backup plan just in case, you know? But I do think that would be judging them too harshly on both sides. Like, I wouldn't judge, you know, AEW from, I wouldn't say AEW stealing ideas from WWE just because of that one example. And I wouldn't necessarily say the same thing about Carmella having the champagne, you know, Jericho having the bubbly thing. Again, it's champagne. And it's funny because when Carmella was doing that, Taylor Swift came out with a song called Champagne Problems. So did Katy Perry, a song called Champagne Problems. So everybody was all about the champagne.
I was wondering how long it would take for Tay Tay to make her way to sashay into this conversation.
It had to. You brought up the viewer brought up the champagne.
I mean, I can't believe we haven't done your top five Taylor Swift albums that dropped in 2020. Like, Luminek, quite a few. Well done, Tay Tay.
Someone was born in lockdown. Yeah, it's been stressful just because I was doing like all the videos for it and I was like, I'm not prepared.
Taylor, please
give me a break here.
Marcus Sol Campbell says, Happy New Year, Team Danuk. If there is an episode before the year is out, there was not. What changes to the wrestling industry do we think will happen in 2021? And what change to the industry in 2020 excited you the most?
Excited me the most was the fact that they found an alternative to no audiences allowed. I'm glad that they created the Thunderdome. I'm glad that AEW found a way to get around, the rules and whatnot, or not get around the rules, but found a way to make it work for people. If that makes any sense. I'm glad that they did that. And in terms of what I would like to see be changed for 2021, I mean, the answer is obvious. I hope and pray that we eventually get to the point where, you know, we can have live audiences, which, to be honest, I may not have a lot of hope for that this year, but I still have some hope there. So I don't know.
I think, SummerSlam, very maybe, not Mania, not Royal Rumble. They've confirmed not Rumble. I'm sure Vince wants Mania, but still too early. Maybe SummerSlam, but I think it's almost nailed on. And I've got a terrible feeling people are going to use the soundbite against me in the future. But I think Survivor Series will be in front of a live crowd.
God, I hope so, but I hope it's done in the appropriate way where, you know, everybody can feel safe and like, hey, like, all right, we're back. Woo, you know? Not in a ooh, I don't know if I could attend type of way.
Absolutely. WrestleMania 38, I think, will be our first Mania back in front of a live crowd. And I wonder what they're going to do for it. In terms of what changed the industry in 2020, I agree, like, just making it work. Like, I guess I would love to see a union. that would be a change to the industry that I would really appreciate. But I think 2021 is just going to be all about, like, the protocols in place for getting fans back safely. Like, I just want to make sure that it's done responsibly. If you don't do it responsibly now, it's going to be much later that you do get to do it responsibly. Like, that's the thing. Like, you know, don't rush it because you will end up just hurting yourself and pushing it further and further and further back. It's just how it works. Like, you know, if you cause another spike, we lock down again. So just let's ride it out. Maybe SummerSlam, probably Survivor Series. All right. Josh B17 says, Hi, Danuk. There's been tons of great NXT TakeOver matches over the years, with the more well-known ones being Banks versus Bayley. Over the years, not over the year. And the Ciampa versus Gargano series. My question is, what do you think is the most underrated TakeOver match of all time? I can't decide between Gargano versus Andrade at Philadelphia and the UE versus Larkin and Burch at Chicago too. Hope you both had a great Christmas and New Year. Ooh.
I don't know. This is a hard one because I feel like all the matches that I thought were good, everyone thought they were good.
I think so. I think Gargano versus Andrade is... I think it's difficult to call that underrated. It may not kind of be mentioned in the same breath as Gargano Ciampa, but like, match got 5 stars. I thought it was pretty appreciated in its time. In terms of all the really good ones set the community aflame because the NXT fan base is so passionate. I remember one, I guess, that people don't talk about as much is Undisputed Era versus Mustache Mountain.
Love, oh, okay.
Love that match. Just
See, I don't remember it that much. So for me, I'm like,
It was really, really good because they were paying off a thing. Like maybe it's not remembered as much because there's a storyline element to it, which was paying off something on TV. And I know not everyone watches NXT on TV. They just watch the takeovers. But there was one bit where on TV where Trent Seven threw in the towel for Tyler Bate, or it was possibly the other way around. Tyler Bate threw in the towel for Trent Seven. Can't remember. one of Mustache Mountain threw in the towel. And then Trent Seven had the towel at, you know, on the apron at the takeover and was doing the kind of the whole, oh, forsooth. And then he decided to throw it away from the ring and then just put his hand out and like try and go for the hot tag and try and, you know, cheer Tyler on. I thought that was really, really lovely stuff. Like, and yeah, it's like, it's not in the same kind of breath. People don't mention it as like, you know, some of the great tag matches like Yui versus Broza Waits, or Aleister Black and Ricochet versus War Raiders. But yeah, that would be my pick.
I like it. I think that's a good pick because even when you mention it, it was like one of the furthest away from my mind.
Awesome. Do you have any in mind, or would you like to move on?
No, I don't think I have to sit down and really think about this one, honestly, because even I was going to say, I remember really enjoying but this one, it doesn't really count because it was untelevised at the time. So it doesn't really count. And it was Sasha versus Bayley, by the way. But it wasn't televised. So I can't count it.
Wait, which one? Sasha versus
Bayley? No, actually, never mind. It was Sasha Banks, Charlotte. Dang, I forgot. Okay, so this was, it was WrestleMania weekend in San Francisco, Santa Clara.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that show, I don't think it was televised, and I was there because I was there in the live audience, and I think it was definitely actually Charlotte Sasha.
Was that the one where Hideo Itami hit the GTS for the first time?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. I don't know. Someone might want to fact check that one on me, but because I remember like that night I was so tired, but I was still at the show, and I remember being such a great show, and it was one of my first like events that I had actually like NXT events that I had actually attended live in person. So, but that whole day I was like exhausted because we drove up to San Francisco like super early in the morning. So by the time the show came around, I was like, you know, but I still remember that match being really good, but doesn't really count though, because it was not televised, but no one's talking about it because, again, wasn't televised.
All right. Well, seek it out if you can find it. Reese Degnan says, hey, Team Danuk, hope you're both well and set to enjoy your New Year's with your respective partners. Side note, when will Denise meet Mrs. Owens? By everything Luke has said, it sounds like they will get on like a house on fire. What are your opinions on Tony Khan's appearances on Impact and how it relates to Kenny's belt collector story? Personally, I'm not a fan, as he keep mentioning how he could stop Omega if he wanted, and I feel it takes agency away from Kenny, implying he is only doing it by the grace of Tony instead of the 2-decade plan we are being presented. Kind regards and happy New Year's, Reese Degnan.
I like the appearances with Tony Khan that he was doing on Impact because I thought they were pretty funny.
Yeah, he's really good at it.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, it came across like as like a, I don't know how to explain it because it was like the business side of him, but at the same time, like the, hey, like we're doing this collaboration, so we might as well do something fun with it. And I think it was sort of unexpected. At least I didn't really expect it. So I liked it.
Yeah, I think if you're like that storyline, I think, especially like with Don Callis and like going all the way back to like New Japan and all that stuff, like it's an angle they're really trying to root in reality and like have that, you know, like they're promotion hopping. So they want to be just like, well, we wouldn't need one kind of overarching narrative continuity to it. And I think like if they're really trying to tell this story, obviously Tony Khan would have something to say. And like, I think including some of that business language, talking about contracts and injunctions, I don't know. Just for me, that's just nice flavor. I don't think it robs Kenny of his agency because I think you see all the agency you want in the ring. Like Kenny is on fire, like generally like the hottest pro wrestler in the world, perhaps maybe except for Kota Ibushi or Jay White. Like right now, Kenny Omega is the man. And I don't think anything Tony Khan has done has put even the slightest damper on that.
Oh, no. Yeah, definitely not.
For me, I love, but more than anything, I just love Tony Schiavone in those segments.
ads. The other funny.
They're really, really good. No, I think they're really funny. I think they're really great. Henrik Jansen says, hello, Miss Grinch, and ad name here. I really want to thank you all at WrestleTalk and all the guests you have for the amazing content you've given, especially during Christmas time. I celebrated alone to slow the spread in Sweden. It sucked. When are you going to rename the podcast to Denise Salcedo Presents the Denise Salcedo WrestleTalk Podcast? Featuring Denise Salcedo. Really, thank you. You guys have been a shining light for me the last few years, making it okay to feel down and not happy all the time. Love all your shows on all your channels and all of you. So many thanks again. Love from Sweden. I'm sure the rebrand is coming, isn't it, Denise?
I think Luke would be very angry. I don't think he'd want to be the lead host in the Denise Salcedo Presents the Denise Salcedo Show. I think Luke would be very, very upset at that and might want some name credits on there.
I think that absolutely Luke would be on board with the rebrand. He's such a kind, giving soul that if you just told him, like literally next podcast you do with him, like a week from today, if you told him, oh by the way, Luke, Adam and I, we agreed and the fans agreed that the show's now called the Denise Salcedo Experience, that he would just go for it. So I think, yeah, at the beginning of next week's show, we should officially rechristen the Denise Salcedo Experience.
You want to know, like, the number one thing that, like, you always see in wrestling, and this goes like in all forms, whenever you have somebody booking, the booker, you always have him put himself over in a match. Like, you always see that in wrestling. That's how I would feel. I'd feel like the booker that's putting myself over in the match. And, you know, even if I shouldn't be the top guy, I'm putting myself over.
Don't tell me you don't want this, Denise.
The Denise Salcedo Experience featuring Luke, that guy. Not even put his last name, just Luke, that guy.
Featuring that guy. Yeah.
Denise, take out Luke, just that guy.
Featuring Denise, etc. Denise and friends.
etc.
Yeah, I think it's sad. Like, yeah, new year, new podcast. We need a rebrand. There it is. The Denise Salcedo Experience. Love it.
Gosh, get so
it
many trending. People would hate me.
Well, you know, like I already judge you. So why not just add more people to that list?
I know. Just keep bringing it on, man. Bringing it on.
Yeah, you know it. Like, you know, it's so much better to be hated than respected. That's what The Undertaker taught us way back in 2002. Jonathan, the Headmaster Headman, says, hello, team, whoever this week is. I hope you had a wonderful festivities of merrymaking. Question in a couple parts. Do you have a favorite wrestler's entrance music? If so, what? Second question, do you have that? Do you have one that live is awesome, but just as a song is meh and vice versa? For me, favorite song is The Evil Doink the Clown. As for the live, Jungle Boys is awesome, and in CD is meh. Oh, very interesting. So first of all, do you have a favorite wrestler's entrance music?
Triple H, The Game. It's a classic. And in person, Brock Lesnar's, because that one you get to do the little Brock Lesnar dance. Yeah, that one, exactly.
I would pay solid money to see Denise doing the proper.
Oh God, no. I always laugh seeing like grown dudes do it like at live events. I always like look around. It's the funniest thing ever.
Rah.
What about you?
Metalingus. Call me basic, but Edge's and like I listen to it like as a song. Like, you know, if I'm going jogging or if anything, I will put Metalingus on like as a song. It's great. I love Cult of Personality. Like, these are all just good songs that WWE just happened to use. In terms of like an entrance music, like I really love Johnny Gargano's.
Oh yeah, yeah, I like that one too.
In terms of like which song is like better live than it is on CD, like this one's good on CD, it's really good on CD, but it's so much better live. It's glorious. Like,
oh yeah,
I remember going to see Takeover, I think it was Takeover Orlando maybe, and it's like that was the first one of the first Takeovers to feature Bobby Roode, and everyone was just literally, what, one of the selling points of buying a ticket for that Takeover is we get to do glorious live, we all get to sing it live, and that was just a beautiful experience to be part of that crowd.
I think you feel glorious singing the song. Like, everyone feels like it's them.
Yeah, I want to be on that pedestal just very slowly.
Exactly. Exactly.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Do you have one that is live that is like, oh, you said Brock Lesnar.
Oh, Brock Lesnar. Yeah, Brock Lesnar.
Very, very nice.
On CD, I have too many, like all of them.
I've only got one WWE music CD, you know, which is the one with the, is the one with the, that had the bonus track of The Rock talking about
Pi. Volume 5.
Volume 5, very good. But yeah, that one had Metal on it, I think. That one had You Look Fly Today, which is such a great song. I can't remember what else was on that album.
That was my first one that I ever got, the Volume 5 CD. That was my first wrestling CD. And then afterwards, I got Volume 4, so I got it backwards. And then I had Forcible Entry, which was the best. And then I had the Anthology CD, which was the... Now Then Forever, something like that. No, it wasn't like, actually it wasn't Now Then Forever, whatever, they named it like all like differently, but then that three disc one, amazing.
Very nice. Dwayne the Gronk Johnson says, hey guys, happy 2021. Thought I'd ask a random non-wrestling question this week. Do you guys have any food habits that other people might find odd that you find, oh god,
I feel like this question was made for me.
I know, like I already know, like some of the horrendous things.
Horrendous.
For example,
have you been seeing Luke's videos?
Like, I don't get me wrong, the Denise Al Snackos that we see Luke does, they're amazing. Absolutely check them out at This Is Luke Owen on Twitter if you haven't already seen them. I'm sure you have if you're watching this. Dwayne DeGronk Johnson says, for example, I love eating spoonfuls of jam, that jam, straight from the jar instead of spreading it on toast. Do you have any weird habits like this? Well, I've got one, but let's just run through the top five absurd and horrifying Denise Salcedo weird food habits, because I look, come on mate, come on, five? You know, yeah, you like,
I don't, you have five,
you do terrible things to food, Denise, you do awful, horrible things.
I dip my pizza in ranch and so I'm a criminal.
Weird.
It's so good, Adam, you're missing out. I don't know how to, okay, do they not offer, is that like nobody does that in London? Is not a thing? Here it's even promoted in commercials, okay, like Papa John's and like all these different places, like they tell you, like, don't forget to get your dip, like it's a thing, like when you go to like pizza restaurants, they ask you like
now that is an eating habit that we need to talk about.
they like, there's ranch that you can pick out, like you go to Sbarro's, you can get, you know, if you want marinara, do you like, what do you want, like,
you know, like Denise, we have pizza dips, it's for the crusts, mate. That's
no, it's for everything.
No, it's not. You didn't, yes, get crusts in it.
You need to taste it, Adam. It's so good. It will change your life forever. Like, you won't be able to eat pizza without it. Like, I get mad when they forget my ranch.
I can imagine. Yeah. Yes. I don't want it. Hell has no fury. But do you have any others that people just kind of be like, what?
Maybe cinnamon pretzels with cheddar cheese, melted cheddar cheese. I know somebody thought that was weird one time. You know cinnamon pretzels, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I know like Cinnabon, but like cinnamon pretzels are just pretzels with cinnamon.
Just the pretzels, like, and they're all covered in cinnamon. I like to dip them in melted cheese, melted cheddar cheese. So good.
Oh, man.
Someone thought I was weird one time when I went to Auntie Anne's. They were like, you're going to dip your cinnamon pretzel in cheddar cheese? Hell yeah, it's delicious. I also like to dip hot Cheetos in cheddar cheese. That's also really good.
Oh, God. Cinnamon and cheese going together.
It's so good. Like your mouth gets, you need a napkin for this one because your mouth gets disgusting.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Okay, so mine is, I think people will, like the hardcore Plumpy fans will know this fact about me, but my nostalgia food, the one that really reminds me of home, basically my mum used to make it for me once a week and I really, really like it. Do you have Yorkshire puddings in the States?
I've heard of it, but I've never tried it.
Okay, so it's basically, yeah, just like light kind of batter, kind of served in like a little pudding thing. That you normally have with like a Sunday roast, so like gravy and beef and stuff like that. So we get Yorkshire puddings, 6 of them, arrange them on a plate like a sort of little honeycomb. My mum used to fill each Yorkshire pudding with baked beans and then cover the whole thing with cheddar and then kind of put that in the microwave. And that was my
so pudding food. And beans.
So it's not like, it's sort of a pudding. It's not sweet. It's just like, it's a savory kind of,
okay,
like, batter pastry thing with baked beans inside and cheese on top. And
that doesn't sound too bad. I mean, I would have put it with like regular pudding. Like I would have mixed my beans with like my pudding. But the way you make it seem, it sounds pretty tasty.
Oh, man. This coming from you, I feel like.
I have a question for you, Adam.
Yeah.
Do you like, because, okay, so my uncle, he's Italian and he thought this was very weird. Okay.
Okay.
He thinks it's weird that I have pizza for breakfast with coffee. Is that weird? Yes or no?
Is the pizza hot or cold?
Hot.
That's fine.
Oh, okay. Fine. Cool. All right.
leftover pizza in the morning. Like, I can imagine an Italian taking offense to that, mostly because Western pizza, Italian.
And I did it in Italy too, which was, I guess, pretty offensive.
Oh, the idea that you left any pizza over for the morning is terrible in itself in Italy. Even cold morning pizza, it is a fact of life.
I won't do cold pizza ever. It has to be heated. I can't do cold.
My partner loves cold pizza. I don't get it. It's so hard and stodgy.
Yeah.
Like you have to kind of warm it up a little bit, you know, and then it's a proper breakfast snack. But yeah, so that's her weird eating habits. She will go, like, there's very few leftovers that my partner is not content to have cold. Like, genuinely, just like any leftovers we had, don't bother. I'll just have it. It's just like,
You're like, what?
It's congealed. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, anyway. I can't do that.
Independent Taiwan says, Happy New Year. Happy New Year to the entire Pledgehammer community and the Rest of Talk team. Thank you guys for all the things you've done in 2020. Let's hope for a much, much, much better 2021. Oh, very nice. Happy New Year to you. Realize that wasn't labeled mailbag. But anyway, Happy New Year. Jonathan, the Headmaster Headman, says, sorry, I had a funnier question. Name a movie, keep one actor, and replace the rest with Muppets. I'll start, Eyes Wide Shut, keep Tom Cruise. Like, that's perfect. Like, I've seen this circulated on Twitter a whole bunch of times. The best one I've ever seen is Die Hard. Keep Bruce Willis and replace everyone else with Muppets. Like, that is perfect. How about you?
I'm not a Muppets fan, you know that. Do you know that? I'm not a Muppets fan, so I wouldn't replace any of them.
Do you like any good things, Denise?
No.
Okay. Why?
I don't even think I know all the Muppets' name. It's Kermit, and then which one's the Piggy Girl again? What's her name?
Piggy Girl. Mickey James, you're thinking of.
Oh, God, no. I forgot. I'm blanking. Miss Piggy? Is it Miss Piggy?
Yes, Miss Piggy. Miss Piggy.
Okay, Miss Piggy. I'm a Piggy Girl.
We are the Piggy Girls. We
okay. So I know Miss Piggy and Kermit the Frog.
Yep,
and that's my knowledge of the Muppets.
beer52.com/wrestletalk. If you are infuriated by Denise Salcedo's lack of Muppets knowledge, go to beer52.com/wrestletalk. Get your free case of craft beer and drown your sorrows, knowing that Denise is a terrible, terrible person. I would also say the Shawshank Redemption. With Andy Dufresne being the only one who is not a Muppet. Delightful stuff. Denise, every week I like you less and less.
How sad. I'm going to be voted the most unlikable person.
Just get I started
up here, went down here.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's like, yeah, you are, yeah, you, yeah. Scum, subhuman scum. No, I'm a fan.
You know what? One day you will be here in Los Angeles eating pizza and we will play Monopoly and you will dip that pizza in ranch and you're gonna have a nice bowl of hot Cheetos, Doritos, sour cream, Diet Coke. It's gonna be like heaven, some trolleys. I mean, it is Denise heaven.
Some Airheads, perhaps. I know that they're taffies now. I like, genuinely, a lot of people of all the kind of snacks, people are like, you don't know what Airheads are? It's like, no, we don't have, you don't have them over here.
That's why it trips me out. It completely trips me out.
Callum says, hey Danuk, hope you had a nice Christmas and are doing well. I'm at the end of Friends and I've been thinking about my favorite moment. And I would say it's when Joey finds out about Monica and Chandler. Just the look on Joey's face is amazing. And Joey trying to hide it from everyone is hysterical. What is your favorite moment from the show? Honorable mention, the scene in the trifle episode where everyone's trying to figure out how not to eat it. What is your favorite Friends moment? Goodness me. What a question.
my favorite Friends moment. Actually, I would say scene, because it's the most depressing one. And I guess without spoilers, it's the one where Rachel and Ross are like fighting in the living room and they're going down the down end. That's my favorite scene. The most depressing one. Favorite scene, favorite episode.
Yeah, and they're all in Monica's bedroom.
Eating the wax.
Eating the wax. Oh, that's a really, really good shout. Like, I would say, I really love the whole American football episode, like the Thanksgiving one. I love. I love, oh, I remember like one of my first great like kind of Friends moments was when Joey phones up and Chandler phones up and says,
and Chandler understands him.
And just like immediately, oh my god, he's trapped in an ATM vestibule.
Yes, that one's good too. That one's really good.
Such a sweet depiction of friendship.
Really,
really good. Also, Ross and Phoebe trying to make out on the
the one where they're where he's like she's like trying to like be like this temptress. Oh, it makes me so uncomfortable. I can't watch it.
Oh no, not that one, not that one. That
oh,
is
not that
like,
one?
That's a decent one, but no, it's the one where in the flashback where Janice
the flashback
asks,
one.
Has anyone ever almost and then
I didn't like
out.
That episode.
Really? Oh
no,
I think it
made me uncomfortable. It's like, no, these people cannot be no, like you already have your person, stick to that person.
It's just when he reaches down, pulls out this thing, the damn ball's in the way, and it's just like, ah, oh, that'll do me. That'll do me. That made me laugh. That gave me a chuckle. Mr. Ollie Davis, number one fan, best jobber in the world, JJ. Gyllenhaal says, you got mailbag. Hello, Denise, and most likely Adam. Now, Goldberg isn't really liked in 2021. Oh, no, it's a Goldberg question. It's good. More of Denise's terrible opinions. But like Denise, I like Goldberg. His run in WCW was awesome, except for the heel turn, as someone who has watched WCW 2000. When he comes out and does his match, the building becomes unglued and makes Nitro the hottest promotion on earth. His feud with Lesnar in 2016-17 was incredible, and his squash match versus Ziggler was great. My question is, in your opinion, is Goldberg an icon? Have a nice day. And jam that jam.
Hell yeah, he's an icon. Are you not going to comment on this? He's an icon.
I know. Look, yes, he's an icon. I don't think anyone's going to deny that Goldberg.
I think some people will deny it.
Look, there are lots of icons in professional wrestling. You know, Vince McMahon is an icon. You know, like, not all iconography is good. The indelible image of Goldberg is great. He has no business being on TV shoving down
Drew McIntyre. That wasn't the question, though. The question was, is he an icon, Adam? See, you're doing exactly what Sean does, going a whole different direction. That question was, is he an icon? Yes.
I'm really annoyed that this is the question, because I really want to go off on one about Oldberg pushing down literally the closest thing they've come to like a brand new megastar. Really, really rough. Oh, it really gets my goat is what it does. But I guess, in my opinion, yes, Goldberg is a wrestling icon.
Count to 10, Adam. Count 1, 2. Practice some Zen.
What's woken me up, I tell you.
People get really, really upset. Really, really upset.
That's the thing. I'm trying to work out. Are you just like, are you like Andy
no,
Kaufman?
I like
are you just like, are you a troll, Denise? Is that what you do? Do you not believe any of these things? You just throw them out there because you just love the hate.
Are you fueled by internet?
You're fueled by internet misery. I see you.
I don't love the drama. The drama loves me. I don't. I genuinely am a Goldberg fan, okay? I do not agree with what happened with The Fiend. Even though people... Because here's the thing about the internet now, is that you say you're a fan of something, and then you're like automatically like you agree with everything. Like, I'm a fan of Goldberg. That does not mean I want to see him defeat Drew McIntyre. I never once said that. And that does not mean that I agree with what happened with The Fiend, okay? But do I like Goldberg? Yes. Am I a fan of Goldberg? Yes. Do I think he's a legend or an icon? Yes.
like, I agree. Yeah, legend, icon, sure. That he clearly connects with a mainstream audience in some way, even if it is just nostalgia and I think pretty bad for business. Like, I can't deny that Goldberg, for what he has done, for the pops he has had, for being genuinely like one of the few guys that WCW made like during the Monday Night Wars, like, yeah, for sure. Just get off my goddamn telly. Owen says, hey, Denise and Adam, most likely. What do you guys think if Drew pulls a Shawn Michaels versus Hogan at SummerSlam 2005 in his match with Goldberg at the Rumble, where he oversells the hell out of Goldberg's moveset? Would you lose respect for Drew? I think it'd be hilarious, but can't decide if that would make up for Goldberg beating Drew. What do you guys think?
I mean, I would like something of like what we saw with Brock Lesnar, like what he did there. Like, that was really fun. Obviously not actually like beating him, but just something like that. That's very fast paced, impactful, you know, have, you know, come in, have Goldberg do his greatest hits, whatever. But then obviously have Drew McIntyre, the champion, look stronger, have him do his claim more, you know, do a counter. I don't know. I think they can do something short and sweet.
Do you think Goldberg's winning?
No, I never. No, no. I would be shocked if they did. I would be shocked.
If they
can't defend that one. I'm out on that one. But you know what's funny? But because I like Goldberg, people think that I automatically want him to win. And I'm like, that's not what I said. That's not what I said. But that's how everyone takes it. And I'm just like, I didn't say that. I like Goldberg. I'm a fan. That doesn't mean I want him to win.
You just want to sit with him, eat pizza, dip it in ranch. That's just
like, I don't think he'd probably dip his pizza in ranch. Does he seem like the type? Maybe.
I mean, he headbutts doors for a living. So yeah, probably, to be honest.
You've never gotten pumped, Adam. Never broke something, smashed a window, put your head through a door.
Yeah, what? Yeah, I'm not living my life a quarter mile at a time. Okay, so the question is, do you, if Drew is booked to lose, do you think he should do a Shawn Michaels? Like,
no, I don't know.
No, I don't think so. Like, oh, I don't know. Because that's the thing, is I don't think Drew's got Shawn's stock. I think if he makes a protest out of it, all he does is run the risk of drawing the wrong kind of heat with management. And I know that they are super high on Drew, and I do think he's going to beat Goldberg, and this is like one of the final things to kind of cement him as a proper superstar. Like, that's why I'm hoping they're using this for, and not just to pop mainstream attention going back into WrestleMania, which is such a possibility. But no, if Drew's booked to lose, like, from everything I've seen of Drew, I think he'll just do it respectfully and do his job. You know, like, I think he's I get nothing but absolute professionalism from Drew, both kind of behind the scenes. Like, I've worked with Drew. Like, he was our WCPW champion for a very long time. The guy's super, super respectful. Apart from the time where he appeared on in the crowd at an NXT takeover whilst being the WCPW champion, of course. But I can't really blame him for that. Like, yeah, get yours on that respect. Anyway, no, I think he'll do the job, and I pray that he doesn't have to.
I don't think he will. I can't see them making that mistake twice. I mean, maybe I have too much hope. I know, right? I still have hope. I don't think they will.
Wrestling Talk sign guy says, with Hulk Hogan appearing on Legends Night, has me thinking about the way fans view behavior away from the ring. Although people get upset fairly over what Hogan said, not many people stayed upset at Lita over her actions with Matt Hardy, and no one ever really got upset with Edge. Personally, I feel actions such as like infidelity are worse than words. I have not had any respect for Edge or Lita since that. What do you feel is fair to hold against people, and for how long?
Were we talking about Hulk Hogan's racial comments?
Yeah, and that's sort of been compared to Lita cheating on Matt Hardy with Edge.
I don't think you can compare the two.
No, I Hulk Hogan disparages like so many of the people. Like, what his comments done, like, yeah, they were made in private, but what they do is just, you know, they create this horrible kind of idea of like of how these legends think about some of the amazing like up and coming people of color that are in WWE. And, you know, Hulk Hogan talks about how he gets a really cold reception every time he goes back. It's like, well, you know, I don't know, man. I don't think you can compare it to like Lita and Matt and Edge. Like, that was a private thing that kind of went public. And it was just like, yeah, like if Matt Hardy and Lita are on good terms now, why are you still upset?
Right.
You know, like, that's the thing. Whereas Hogan, like, has affected kind of so many people. And, like, look, it's up to each individual person whether or not, like, and I mean, like, of all the people in the locker room, like, whether or not they forgive Hulk Hogan. I'm sure some have. And others feel like Hulk Hogan has more work to do. And that's not up to us. That's up to Hulk Hogan and those stars. And that's all there is to it. But, like, yeah, no, I it's a very thorny issue, but
yeah. And really, it's a whole issue here, man, a whole issue.
Robert Ray says, Happy New Year. So since it is Rumble season, I thought I would do a what would you rather see. These are going based on both Rumble matches. So let's play what would you rather see. So basically, Denise, we're going to do this quick fire. Okay. I'm going to give you like something, something or something. And you okay. tell me immediately which you'd rather see. Okay. Bianca wins from number one or Rhea wins from number one?
Rhea.
Kevin Owens wins from number one or Daniel Bryan wins from number one?
Kevin Owens.
Ooh, have the Rumble winners be predictable or have two underwhelming winners?
Predictable.
Have loads of NXT names in both Rumbles or one NXT star in both, but they have an amazing showing?
Loads.
Ooh, The Fiend wins the Men's Rumble or Alexa wins the Women's Rumble?
Alexa wins the women's.
Ooh, Brock returns to win the men's or Ronda returns to win the women's?
Ronda returns to win the women's.
New Day comes out at numbers 1, 2, 3 or Mandy and Sonya start the women's?
Mandy and Sonya. No, New Day.
Drew loses to Goldberg, but then wins the men's Rumble match to go versus Roman at WrestleMania, or Roman loses the Universal title, then steals Jay's Rumble to win.
The Roman one.
Fair. All right. There we go.
Oh, this was stressful. I was like,
And for the record, Rhea, Daniel Bryan, predictable, loads, The Fiend, Ronda, Mandy and Sonya, and Drew that one. All right. Liam the Canadian Invader Walsh says, Happy New Year, Luke and Denise. Good health to you both for the year ahead. My question today isn't about predicting the Royal Rumble winners, but predicting who is going to be the surprise entrance. Any ideas? My prediction is MVP will be in the ring. Then we hear a yo, 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 Brooklyn, Brooklyn, and enters JTG as a tribute to Shad Gaspard. They perform Crime Time's G9 finishing move together on someone like Ziggler, then embrace in a hug, celebrating the moment, but then MVP throws JTG over the top rope. Have a great day and hashtag jam that jam.
I didn't have any until he said JTG, and now I kind of really want to see something like that.
I'd really like to see JTG in the Rumble. I think that would be really, really great. I don't know, like, who else, like, kind of surprise Rumble. I'm sure, like, I hope we get to see Molly. I hope Molly is in every single Women's Rumble forever.
She's so fun. Yeah,
so great. In terms of surprise entrance, like, like, I can't believe we haven't had a Trish Lita moment in the Royal
That's
Rumble.
That's true, actually.
I can't believe it didn't happen in the first Rumble. That's insane to me.
Who else?
I genuinely, like, I might get hate for this. I would love Steph to be in the Women's Rumble. I would love her to come in at number 30.
And just, I can't, like, imagine it. I feel like she's completely transitioned her role. Like, she's doing all of, like, this, you know, business woman type of deal. Like, she's doing, like, she's focusing very much on the business end of things. So I feel like she's trying to portray herself differently. I don't know. Maybe.
In terms of people who I just like to see for one night only, like, I want to see Scotty Too Hottie again. I want to see Scotty and Otis have a double worm. I think that would be really nice. Like, if you're just talking about little spots, like, you know, they come in, they do a thing, and then they go. I'd love to see like the double worm spot with Otis and Scotty. That would be
One. I have a good one. I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. But what if Kurt Angle, just a quick come in, do something, erase our memory of the Baron Corbin match, a little something,
A little bit. Cena comes in, cleans house, and then Kurt Angle comes out. And we finally just have tiny little Cena versus tiny little Angle moment.
And that's and it.
That's it. Oh, Denise, I like you again.
Oh, yay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I just fluctuate, Matt.
It's a real roller coaster. And that's the one we're ending on. So we are ending on Denise is good. That is how we've ended today. And I do want to say, of course, if you are going to be watching the Royal Rumble, like we will, make sure you get yourself a crate of beer 52. The Rumble always goes better with beer. Beer52.com/WrestleTalk for your free case of craft beer. Store cold, drink fresh. That's your...
Why are you laughing?
Because I think that's pretty much I thought that was Beer 52's slogan, but it's just printed on the box, like, you should store this cold and then drink it fresh. I don't know if that, like, it just reminded me of Subway. So, like, store cold, drink fresh, put in the fridge, fragile, handled with care, Beer 52. These are just things I'm reading on the box. Thank you, Denise, for doing
thank
this.
Thank you. Team Dam is here, alive and strong.
Team Dam, there was a big mailbag this week. We've run 90 minutes. I'm very, very sorry. It's 12:30 where you are. Go to bed. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week, where it'll probably be Team Danook. And I'm sure Denise will be very, 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 very happy about that.
What? No, I love doing the show with you, Adam. I really, really did. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See, you don't believe, even when I'm nice, people don't believe me anymore.
No.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.